The hide of an animal which has attached to it a piece of meat which is the size of an olive. That is the minimum size necessary for something which is a novella, an animal which died without a valid shechita, valid slaughtering, for it to make something else tome. So we have a kazayis of meat of a novella, an animal which died without slaughtering, which is attached to the hide of the animal. One who touches a little strand of that meat, which comes out of the kazayis of meat, or if you touch a hair which comes out of the hide in that exact area where the meat is situated. So even though you didn't touch the actual kazayis, since you touch something which is considered to be a shomer of the kazayis, something which is on the outer part of the source of tumah and protects the source of tumah, can also make one impure if he touches it, and therefore if somebody touches the strand of meat or a hair of the hide which is in that exact area, he would also become impure. Now what happens if there's this piece of hide, and there were two different pieces of nevela meat, and each one was the size of half a kazayis, half an olive. If combined together, then they make up the minimum size to make one impure. Says the Mishnah, it would be a source of impurity if somebody were to carry the hide, because then you carried something which has in that the size of an olive of the source of tumah. However, the loib maga, one would not become impure if he touches one or even both of the pieces of meat. Because if you're touching it, then we look at them as separate items, as separate sources of tumah, of impurity. If you're carrying it, so then you're carrying something, you're carrying the entire object, so we look at all of the object as one. But if all you're doing is touching the different pieces of meat, then there's nothing to connect them, and therefore they would each, in and of themselves, lack the minimum size to be considered a source of tumah in that case. Div Rabbi Yishmael, that is the opinion of Rabbi Yishmael. Rabbi Akiva Omer. Rabbi Akiva says, Lo b'magav lo b'masah. One would not become impure, neither if he touches it, nor if he carries the hide with those two pieces of meat. Now, that's not to say that Rabbi Akiva holds that the two different pieces cannot be combined ever when you carry something. In the same way as we said to explain why by touching the two pieces of meat, they don't combine. So maybe I might have thought that Rabbi Akiva says the same thing, even regarding one who carries the hide. At the end of the day, they're two different sources of impurity. And even if you carry the object to which they are both connected, that also won't connect the two sources of tumah to combine them to be the minimum size. I might have thought that, but the Mishnah is going to show us that that is not the case, because Umodi Rabbi Akiva agrees, B'shnei Chatzoi Zesim, if you have two pieces of nevela meat, which are each half the minimum size, they're half the size of an olive, Shetachovim B'kisam, that you stabbed them with a splinter, meaning you have two pieces of meat on one piece of wood, some sort of twig, and they are not touching each other. However, they are connected, that they're both part of the same, they're both on this piece of wood. Shehesiton at vesiton, and somebody moved that piece of wood. Moving the piece of wood is like carrying it. In that case, says Rabbi Akiva agrees, Shehutome, that he would be impure. Because the two different pieces of meat do combine, since you moved an object to which they are both connected. If so, so why does Rabbi Akiva rule that one would not become impure in the case where he moves a piece of hide to which two pieces of meat are connected? Why do they not combine in that case? The answer is because the hide nullifies them. The hide gets rid of their significance. Since they are connected to the hide, so each piece of meat is considered to just be secondary to the actual hide, the skin of the animal, and therefore they can't combine because each one in itself lacks any significance due to the fact that it is connected to a more significant hide. This is unlike the case of the piece of wood which is holding the pieces of meat, because there certainly the meat is the primary, whereas the wood is just there to carry the meat. Mishnah Hey, kulis, technically speaking, refers to any bone which contains marrow. Marrow is a edible part of the bone, which can be eaten, and according to the strict definition of the term kulis, that refers to any such bone. It happens to be that this term is often used to refer to a specific bone, one of the larger bones of the body, the femur, at the top of one's leg. Be it as it may, since the marrow of the bone is edible, it has the same status as the meat of the animal and is therefore considered to be a source of impurity if it's a nevela, an animal which died without a proper slaughtering. And if the marrow is a source of impurity, that makes the entire bone a shomer on the marrow. The rest of the bone, so to speak, protects the marrow, and therefore if somebody touches the bone, even without touching the marrow, he should really become impure. However, the rule is that only if one is able to become impure by touching the source of tumor itself, would he become impure by touching the shomer, the protector of that source of tumor. However, in a case where it's impossible to become impure from touching the real source of tumor, then it would also not be possible to become impure if one touches the shomer of that source of tumor. And as such, the Mishnah tells us that kulis hameis, a kulis, a bone, which contains marrow of a dead body, so that's another source of impurity. We're not limiting the discussion to a nevela, but rather to a human being who has died. The kulis hamukdashim, or a bone like this of an animal which was a korban. And we're talking about a korban which has become invalidated, either because it's noisar, it was left beyond its time limit, or because it is pigel, which is when the kohen who was performing a service of that korban had a certain invalidating intention to continue that procedure of bringing the korban or eating it beyond its time limit. That would give the animal the status of pigel, which means it's an invalid korban which cannot be eaten. And midrabbanon, such a invalid korban, either noisar or pigel, would make one tome if he touches it. That is a special impurity which was decreed by the chachomim. So the Mishnah says, hanogea bohen, one who touches one of these bones, bein stumin, bein kuvim, whether the bones are totally closed, and there is no way of touching the marrow on the inside, bein kuvim, or whether there is a hole. So one is technically able to touch the marrow itself. In either case, tomei, he would be impure by touching the bone, since the bone is a shomer for the marrow, which is a source of impurity. And although one is not able to touch the marrow itself, in a case where the whole marrow is closed off, and therefore one shouldn't really become impure by touching the shomer of the source of impurity, based on the rule which we just explained, over here it's different. In the case of a bone of a dead body, even the bone is a source of impurity. Not only the marrow, because it's part of a dead body, and therefore it's not just a shomer in this case, but it's the source of impurity itself. And in the case of the bone of a korban, this is part of this stringency midrabbanon, since the entire impurity it was made by the rabbanon. They also saw it fit in this case to be stringent and say that even if one touches the shomer of the source of impurity, in a case when one is not able to touch the source of impurity itself, nevertheless one would become impure. It's part of the stringency midrabbanon. Kulis nevelov, kulis asheretz, a bone which contains marrow of a nevela, an animal which died without slaughtering, or of a sheretz, which is one of the eight small animals which the Torah lists as being a severe source of impurity when they die. Hanogea bohen stumin, one who touches one of these bones when it is closed off and one is not able to touch the marrow itself, tohar, he would be pure. Unlike a human dead body, the bone itself of a nevela and likewise of a sheretz is not a source of impurity, only the marrow itself. And over here we have the regular rule that if one is not able to become impure by touching the source of tumor itself, then one can also not become impure by touching its shomer, its protector. It follows, however, that nekuvim kol shehu, if there is any amount of that bone which has a hole in and one is able to touch the marrow inside, as soon as it's possible, so now if you touch any part of the bone, matam b'mago, one would become impure by touching it. Now a sheretz, one of these eight animals, small creeping animals which the Torah lists, cannot make one impure unless he touches it. If one were to carry a sheretz without touching it, then the Torah says that he would not become impure only if he touches it. On the other hand, a nevela, an animal which died without a proper slaughtering, if one carries it even without touching it, he would become impure, a regular nevela. Now, the Mishnah is going to show that becoming impure by carrying the nevela is dependent upon the ability to become impure by touching it. So the Mishnah says, "Uminayin she'af b'masor," from where do we know that even becoming impure by carrying this piece of the bone is also dependent on whether it has a hole in it or not. on whether one is able to touch the source of Tuma itself or not. Says the Mishnah, Talmud Lomar, this is learnt from the Pasuk, which says, Hanoigeya, and then it goes on to say, Vahanoise. One who touches the Nevela, and one who carries the Nevela. So the Pasuk is comparing the two. And it is therefore learnt from there that Esher Bolichal Mago, Bolichal Masa, that which has come into the category of being able to transfer Tuma via touching, has also come into the category of being able to transfer impurity via carrying. However, lo bolichal maga, if it is not able to transfer impurity via touching, then lo bolichal masa, it also would not have come into the category of being able to transfer impurity via carrying. Mishnah Vov, Beitzas HaSheretz HaMerukemes, a egg of a sheretz in which an embryo has formed. Some of the eight sherots in which are mentioned in the Torah as being a source of impurity when they die, some of them are animals which lay eggs, and if an embryo of a baby sheretz was created and formed in the egg, already from the beginning of the creation of the sheretz, it is considered to be a source of impurity, as long as it is not alive. However, since one isn't able to touch the source of impurity itself, tahora one would remain pure even if he touches the egg which surrounds it, even though the egg is supposed to really be a shomer, something which protects the source of impurity. Since one isn't able to touch the source of impurity itself, one would also not become tome if he touches the shomer, the protector of that source of impurity, in this case the egg. However, like we saw in the previous Mishnah, nikva kol shehu, if the egg has any hole in it of any size at all, such that it is possible to touch the inside, or even to get a strand of hair to touch the inside, tamea, then one would become impure if he touches any part of that egg, because now it would be a shomer of a source of impurity, which can make other things impure. The next half of the Mishnah talks about a fascinating creature, and that is an achbar, a mouse, shechetzio bosor vechetzio adomo. Half of the mouse's body was meat, meaning it was like an animal, it could move about, and half of it was made up of earth, and it would grow from the ground, and this mouse could move around, but half of its body was made of earth. Even the Rambam writes that this was a very known creature. Be as it may, what is the status of this animal in regards to impurity? The ground, earth, cannot become impure, and it cannot make other things impure, whereas an animal and a sheretz can. An achbar is one of the... a mouse is one of the eight sherotzim. So once it has died, it should be the source of impurity. So the Mishnah says, Hanegeh babosar, one who touches the meat part of the mouse part, tomei, he would become impure. Boadoma, but if he touches the part of this creature, which is made up of earth, tohar, he would remain impure, he would remain pure. So we literally split up the animal into two parts. Rabbi Yehuda says, Afan ge'er ba'adoma shekneged ha'bosar tomei. Even one who touches the part of the creature, which is made of earth, but it's on the opposite side of the part of the mouse, which is made up of mouse. Even on that part, tomei, he would become impure, since it is going to end up being like a full mouse. As this creature develops more and more, it ends up being entirely like a mouse. And therefore, even though currently half of the animal is made up of earth, since it is going to end up turning into a mouse like the rest of the creature, so all of the animal would be a source of impurity. Mishnah Zayin, this Mishnah is going to introduce a concept known as nipple, or misa oisa nipple. What exactly does that mean? If you have a limb or part of the flesh of an animal, which whilst it is alive, does not get cut off totally from the animal, but it is dangling from the animal. So most of it has been cut off, but it's hanging off of the animal, such that it is no longer possible to reattach or stitch up that limb to the body of the animal so that it will rejuvenate and become once again part of the animal. It is not possible to do that. So on the one hand, it's viewed as being sort of a bit separate from the animal. On the other hand, it's still attached to the animal, and therefore it's not considered to be its own entity in and of itself. The concept of nipple means, that literally means it falls off. And the rule which we say, misa oisa nipple, means that when that animal dies, we halachically view it as if that limb, which was dangling from the body of the animal, fell off a second before the animal died. and therefore it has the status of a limb, or if we're talking about flesh, then flesh, which separated from an animal whilst it was still alive. It would be considered an Eiver Min HaChai, a limb which separated from an alive animal, which has a different status and different laws to a regular Nevela, a part of an animal which died without proper slaughtering. This is all true, however, when the animal dies. If the animal is slaughtered, then there is no concept of nipple. However, midrabbanon, possibly midaraisa, so we're going to understand more simply that it is midrabbanon, it is still forbidden to eat the limb which had been dangling until the slaughtering took place, and we view it as if the slaughtering does not affect a way of permitting that limb to be eaten. The rest of the animal can be eaten, but that particular limb does not become permitted to be eaten via the slaughtering. Says the Mishnah, a limb, which refers to a part of the body which contains flesh as well as bones and sinews together, that's the halachic requirement to be considered a significant limb and have the status of an Eiver Min HaChai. Biazimei, a limb or flesh by itself which is dangling on an animal, can transfer impurity of foods in their place, meaning it can halakhically be considered a food in terms of the laws of it having impurity like food items. Although in its current state it's not necessarily set aside for eating, if somebody has the intention to eat this, that is what gives the halakhic status of food to this item. It is now considered set aside for eating. Even though it's forbidden to eat it, it's considered to be part of an alive animal. However, if somebody does intend to eat it, it would be considered food. And just like any food, it's shichin hechsher, it requires hechsher in order for it to be able to make something impure. Hechsher is when a food item becomes wet by one of seven particular liquids. Only once a food item has at one point become wet, even if it dries afterwards, that it already is fit to become impure. So if this dangling limb or piece of flesh became wet after somebody intended for it to be food, and then it touched a source of impurity, it would become impure, such that if it would touch something else, it would make that other item impure. Continues the Mishnah, Nishchato Abehema, if the animal is now slaughtered, then even if a dangling limb has not yet touched something wet, so it hasn't yet become fit to become impure, when the animal is slaughtered, then this limb would become fit to become impure via the blood of the animal. Since the blood of the animal is one of the seven liquids, which can make something fit to become impure, and the blood touched the animal itself, of course, it was slaughtered, so the entire animal now becomes fit to becomes impure. Even if the blood itself didn't touch the dangling limb is considered to be a yad, something which is holding on like a handle. It's something which is attached to the source of impurity, and therefore it's considered to be an extension of that. Therefore, just like the animal itself became fit to be something impure, so too the dangling limb would be able to become impure now. It should be noted that the piece of meat or the limb which had been dangling until now does not have the status of something which separated from the body while it was still alive. Since a valid slaughtering took place, there is no concept of nipple. We do not view it as if it separated from the rest of the body a second before it died. Now, Rabbi Shimon argues on one point. Rabbi Shimon says, Lo hukshoru, the limb or the piece of flesh do not become fit to become impure. This is for an external reason that, according to Rabbi Shimon, one of the seven liquids does not include the blood of an animal. The blood of a human being, it does include, however, the blood of an animal, it does not include, and therefore the animal hasn't become wet with a liquid which makes it fit to become impure. And now the Mishnah comes to a case where Meso Abehema, if the animal dies, so now we have the concept of nipple, Miso Oiso nipple, that when the animal dies, we halachically view it as if any limb or flesh which was dangling from the body of the animal fell off and separated from the rest of the animal a moment before the final death of the animal. That being the case, habosor, in a case where there was just flesh by itself which was dangling from the body, the concept of nipple saves this from being considered part of an nevela. Flesh which separates from an alive animal is not a source of impurity, whereas flesh which separates from a nevela, an animal which died without slaughtering, is certainly a source of impurity. So this flesh is not considered to be a source of impurity, it's just a regular piece of meat. In order for it to become impure, tzorech hechsher requires becoming wet first, and then it needs to touch something which is impure, and only then would it itself become impure and be able to transfer its tumah to something else. However, now if there was an entire limb made up of flesh as well as bones and sinews, if that was dangling from the body of the animal, it is considered to be a source of impurity, since it has the status of a limb from an alive animal, the enum tamim shem even in a nevela, but it does not have the laws of a limb which comes from a nevela, and therefore has slightly different laws regarding its tumor status. Either way, it would be considered a source of impurity, but there are slightly different laws regarding a limb which came from an alive animal to a limb which came from a dead animal. Dear Rabbi Meir, that is the opinion of Rabbi Meir, of Rabbi Shimon Matahar. However, Rabbi Shimon says that the flesh which came off, which was dangling off of the body of the animal, and according to Rabbi Meir, once it becomes wet, then it would be like a regular food item and become impure. According to Rabbi Shimon, even then it wouldn't become impure, because it has to have the status of food in order for it to become impure. At least that's the type of impurity which we're talking about over here. And Rabbi Shimon holds that since a piece of meat which came off of a live animal is forbidden to be eaten both by a Jew and a non-Jew, it therefore does not have the status of food at all, such that it would not be able to become tomei as a regular food can become tomei, impure.